Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warwick County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
Good morning, Radio Rehab audience. We are back again for another exciting discussion about substance abuse and staying clean and sober and other addictive disorders and mental health issues that affect our community. We have back by popular demand Marvelline and Kelly, who are actively involved in getting this coalition going that can help us help people that are still hurting from substance abuse issues that sometimes get ignored or left out in the cold. So they are very active in a coalition that's working on getting housing for women in recovery and men as well, and educating the community and the schools about the substance abuse issues in our, especially our community of folks that are often forgotten or mistreated in the system. So we're glad to have them back. Last time they were here, you all called like crazy with questions and concerns. So they're back, and they wanted to dedicate Radio Rehab today to focusing on the young. So they brought a young speaker with them to share her story, and she is young, 80 days clean and sober. Her name is Tamara. And she is living at the YWCA with D. If you can survive D, you can survive anything. She's awesome. So we hope her friends at the YWCA are listening as well. So Tamara, tell us about yourself, and then Marvelline and Kelly are going to tell us where they are with the coalition and how important it is that we keep young people on our radar screen. Thanks for coming.
Hey, how you doing? Yes, my name is Tamara. I am at the YWCA. Have 80 days clean of all drugs and alcohol. My addiction was crack cocaine. I've not done that within 6 months, but I was involved in marijuana every single day, and so therefore all drugs, 80 days clean. I'm pretty proud of myself.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
80 days totally clean.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Yay. That's right.
Yep. So how long in your little life were you out there in the world of addiction?
Approximately 3 years. And I'm going to tell you, it was a very progressive disease. Started off just smoking marijuana, had surgeries, and it was pills and marijuana, and then it was crack cocaine. And crack cocaine progressed so fast, I lost pretty much everything.
So do young people that smoke marijuana, do you think they are at high risk for, is that a gateway drug?
Yes, absolutely.
You do think so?
Yes, that is a gateway drug. A lot of these young people lace marijuana with cocaine anyway, and they don't understand the danger of that. Mm-hmm. You start off doing marijuana and you lace that, you want to get higher mm-hmm. and higher. So you, eventually you might go into cocaine, and that's just, that's sad. It's a very sad disease.
So Tamara, did people like Marvelline sitting here and Kelly and other people try to help you along the road? Did people see what was happening to you?
Yes, they did. Kelly, she came up to me. She's very sweet.
Yeah.
And
we love Kelly.
Yes, Kelly.
We love Kelly.
Yes, she was very sweet. She came up to me, and she told me that anytime I need to talk to her, want to go somewhere, just want to hang out, then I'm more than welcome, and I appreciate that more than anything. She just doesn't know.
So you had people reach out to you, but did anybody before you met these guys try to intervene?
Yes, I do believe my mother, she
Your
tried.
Mom tried.
A little bit. My father, a lot. You know, my family mostly, mm-hmm. You know, they try to intervene, and I wasn't at that point.
Yeah.
I didn't. It was only till, you know, I lost my children, mm-hmm. and I'm involved in CPS right now, that it really woke me up.
And, you know, Lisa, that's the nature of addiction. Many times those people around us can see that we're spiraling down long before we're able to see it. And it's unfortunate. It takes something drastic or dramatic to help happen to us to get our attention. Yeah.
So losing your kids is about as dramatic as it can get for a woman, I guess.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But I have met women, haven't you, Marvelline, that still keep using, even though they've lost their kids.
And that just goes to show you how strong
the power of addiction.
Yeah, it shows you how strong the grip of addiction is. You know, I, too, at one point had lost my children, not to the system, but to family. And that was one of the hardest things. And talk about the guilt that one feels from knowing it's because of this drug that I can't get my kids back. And as much as I hate not having my kids, and as much as I hate getting high, I can't seem to stop.
And, you know, you're right. And with addictive disorders, just for you and the audience to get a little education here, when something bad or traumatic happens to somebody in an addiction, it escalates the addiction.
Exactly.
It doesn't de-escalate it.
Exactly.
Because so the rest of the world looks and says, that should get their attention.
But no, what it, well, anytime
it escalates it.
Anytime our emotional pain increases, we look for an escape or an avenue to ease the pain. Mm-hmm. And as unfortunate as it is, it's often more drug use that gives us those momentary moments of freedom from pain.
Right. And like Tamara, you said you kept using marijuana because it kept you, the depression numbed out a little bit.
Yes, I didn't want to feel.
Right, right.
I did not want to feel.
Wow, Marvelline, and you're really the force behind this coalition. And how do you, being somebody that's never had an addiction in your life, how marvelous that you want to put energy into this? And don't you sometimes scratch your head, what is wrong with these people?
No.
I've
had family members, extended family members who have been addicted to alcohol, crack cocaine, marijuana, you name it. It didn't directly affect me, but of course I have a son who's been clean for 2 years.
Yes.
But that affected me, but I think a lot of this initiative has to do with, I'm tired of black men and women going to jail for nonviolent crimes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cancer in our community, and as I talked about it before, it's 4 stages to cancer. And we know the 4th stage is either death or prison. And we don't want that to happen to our children. I'm not trying to save the world or be the one that did it, you know. I want to get this off the ground, this task force off the ground, so that I can start to finish my novel.
Mm.
I am tired of y'all worrying me.
That's right. She's ready to get back to work. This is a lot of work, though.
It is a lot of work, and I'm a little bit surprised that we've got about 25 people that committed for 2 years or more for this task force. But some of them have not responded, and that's okay, because as Diane Clements, who is a member of this task force, said, you know, we might just have to go on and do what we got to do, and as leave those people with their feet in cement, just leave them behind. No offense, but Judge Trockman, Diane, of course, Kelly, Kathy, several other people have been real supportive, and they know that there is a need. I've gathered some information, and, you know, one of the things that Diane and Judge Trockman, they're sort of dealing with education on this committee, and that's the one key thing for the black community, is to be educated. And back in my day, you know, it's like, oh, you need to stop using that stuff. Well,
wish it was that simple.
That's an addiction.
Yeah.
Nobody says when I grow up, I'm going to use drugs.
Right.
Nobody says when I grow up, I'm going to be black and poor. Or, you know, nobody says that. So I still am, because of my age, suspicious, because I came up through segregation, that these drugs did not just happenstance into our community.
Right.
And now that they're here, what are we going to do?
So you're dedicating a lot of your energy and time to getting this task force together to go after mainly the black community?
This is an initiative that is, it's not eliminating anyone, but it's a task force that is dealing with the African-American mm-hmm. community. Now, if some person comes and says, I want to be involved
sure.
in this, of course, someone that's using or have used or is in recovery, and we do have people on this task force that's in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mix. Actually, I think I talked about this the last time. This is the first committee that I've worked on that is so diverse.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
That's true. It really is.
But the other thing is, some of the people on this committee have not been in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand us.
And it is important for us to be
and
educated.
And I think we have to start in-house.
Yes.
Before we start to open this up to the community and
build the
people.
Foundation.
Yes, very much so.
Do you guys, Tamara and Kelly, think Marvelline's pretty on track? It's got to start with the inside.
Yes.
We need to learn
yes.
how to talk and communicate and understand people.
For example, I work part-time at the Vandenberg Community Corrections in the safe, what I call it, the safe house.
Jail.
The jail.
And one of the employees said to one of the correction officers who happens to be black, hey, Slick, how you doing? He didn't mean anything by
mm-mm.
it, but that's offensive to black people to call a black man Slick.
It is.
Yes.
See, I wouldn't have known that.
Education.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and that's it. Did the officer that was black say something?
No, because he's young and he probably didn't. I'm from that era.
Right.
That's offensive to me, but I don't think it was offensive to him. He said, I see it, you know, and it's... I'm like,
huh?
See, I would have challenged that person.
Sure.
What the hell do you mean, Slick?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, just a word.
Yeah, and so to me, Slick, when we were called Slick, our fathers and our grandfathers and our uncles, and when we were called Slick, a black man was, they didn't call a black woman Slick.
Mm-mm.
They called black men Slick. It means you trying to pull something, or you're trying to be...
you can't be trusted.
Yeah, you can't be... Yeah, mm-hmm. con artist. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, we have a lot of work.
A lot of educating, yes.
You know, one of the concerns that I've had just working in the community is getting non-African Americans, getting them to understand that there really is a need, not just for your typical cultural diversity training, but for them to get a real in-depth working knowledge of what it means to be African American, mm-hmm. what it means mm-hmm. to be in poverty. Because mm-hmm. whether we believe it or not, there are certain cultural values that we see in inner city poverty level families that do not exist in other communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not until we know what those dynamics are, we're not able really to effectively work with those people. You know, we go into it with a preconceived mindset of who you are, why you're doing what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and all you need to do is this, that, and the other.
Pointing the fingers.
Exactly, without taking into consideration how did they get here?
Yeah.
You know, when they go home, what are they up against?
Yes.
You know, what programs or services can we offer him or her to help her combat her challenges that are at home? And there are challenges that people in the inner city face
yes.
that are just not the normal for your middle class, your upper middle class. It is, for some people, the reality is it is a real day-to-day struggle in figuring out what you're going to eat for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a young African-American male who's 16 years old and due to no fault of your own, your parents are drug addicts, maybe your father's not even in the home, mother leaves, she's not buying food, the bills aren't paid, you step into some type of fatherly position for your younger siblings,
mm-hmm.
somebody has to feed yourself and your brothers and sisters. Well, now you got a guy down the street who's known for selling marijuana, he's trying to convince you to sell marijuana, you really don't want to. But now, what is
for
your choice
economic.
To be?
Mm-hmm,
you
economic.
Have to eat. You have to feed your siblings. And so for us, and we're never okaying it.
Mm-hmm.
We're never okaying it. But to at least have an understanding of why someone's doing it will help us know how to more better
deal with them instead of assuming, oh, he just wants to sell drugs. Nobody just wants to sell drugs and just have to worry about when is the police coming in. Nobody just wants to do that. There usually are a lot of circumstances that lead to that, and that's one of the things that we were looking at our coalition. How do we change the mindset of not only the powers that be, but change our own mindsets? See, we have to change our mindsets within the African American community. We have to start developing a whole different value system.
Wow.
And I want to speak for single parent mothers. You know, it's
that are young, like
that are
you.
Young. It's a struggle. Mm-hmm. You have fathers who are out there, and they're doing their thing, and you have a lot of resentments mm-hmm. on that. You're trying your best to take care of your two children, or how many children you have, and it's like you need a relief. You feel like you need a relief, and you can't
sure.
get it. You can't get a break. There is no break, and. In African American, in the urban areas, single parent homes are so much greater than the middle class and the upper class.
You know, the home values,
the home values,
the family system.
Yes, there's a lot of single parent. When I worked at the Evansville Housing Authority, I was a case manager, and I worked with single parent mothers to help them with try to get school and jobs. And I'm telling you, it's a struggle, you know, in public housing. You know, that's where I worked. And
were you using then?
Too? No, ma'am.
No, drinking, no drugging,
no
huh?
No drug, no nothing.
You know what it takes? It takes a community.
Yeah.
That's what it amounts to. I have a great-grandchild. And my daughter, who's the grandmother, we help her. The mother of that child with the babies too. That's what it takes.
The village.
It takes a village.
Yes, and it does.
When she needs, she's only 18 years old. Can you imagine being 18 years old with a 2-year-old child?
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't have probably a lot of parental skills. Not saying that she's dumb or anything.
Right.
But she's young. So it's our responsibility to step up to the plate. And I think that's where we've lost some of that in our community, that we don't have a coalition of family members. Well, you just go. You made that mistake. You just got to live with it.
Yeah.
What kind of talk is that?
Yeah. And especially if you came from a family who that's nothing but a cycle to them. I mean, it's just one generation after
it's
the next.
It's almost expected.
Yes. And they point the finger. Even your family members will point the finger to you and say, well, why did you do something like that? Why are you doing smoking marijuana? Or what made you smoke crack? But you forget. The whole entire family have substance abuse problems. And that's what's going on. Our children are growing up that way, and it's not okay.
So can white middle-class America be helpful? There is a need for white America to understand what other folks live in and the values that drive other folks.
Well,
maybe
not just not white America. I was quote unquote considered middle class.
Right.
I worked
so there you go.
For 29 years.
Right. Well, middle class America.
Yeah, and I just didn't have time for none of this. You know, I was making.
You made your bed, they lie.
Go on my trips and. You know, but I never did get to the point where I thought they ought to know better. I never sat in judgment. I just ignored.
And turned the other cheek.
And you know, that is a lot of the problem in our community. It really does take people who have the heart to realize that, you know, a lot of times we as people, not just the African American community, we're interested in doing things in which there is an audience. We can get the limelight, and if there's nothing in it for us, then it's easier for us to ignore, you know, not to, you know, I talk about people who in this community who have stepped outside of themselves to reach just one person. And if we could really understand that if I can help shape the life of just one person, How important it is to reach that one person. So what if I can't work with 25 people and change 25 lives? Mm-hmm. If I can be effective in helping to mold just that one person's life, then that one person will reach back and help someone else. And I'll tell
yeah,
you,
we've gotten to numbers focused.
We've gotten to
grants,
numbers focused. Exactly.
What's the numbers? Yeah. What's the numbers?
And I'll give you a perfect example of a situation like that. I know my daughter won't mind, and I hope I'm not offending anybody, but, you know, Karen Ragland, her and her husband, Daryl, they really took a great concern for just my one child. And someone might say, well, you know, it's just one person. But because of the interest that they showed in her, the help, the support, the encouragement, you know, the phone calls, the rides, the opening up their home to her during summer in between colleges, and Karen sending care packages and all of that. It was just one child. But as a result, she has now graduated from college. She is now in law school, and because of what they did for her, they showed her how to give back. Now it is her dream to imitate or emulate what they did for her. So now she's reaching back, and now she's helping other young people. Now just imagine what would have not happened had not we had the Karens and the Daryls who didn't want to do anything at all because they didn't have enough money to take care of 20 kids. But whatever little they had, they were willing to give of their time, their resources, their services, their information to help mold and motivate one young person who's now helping other young people. And we really need more people to get actively involved in the lives of our youth. It's not enough for us to sit back and point the finger, shake our heads, and make our comments. We need to be part of the solution if we want to see our community change. We have got to get active.
Absolutely, and that's, I know, what you all are doing and have a lot of support in your coalition. Are you all familiar with Youth First?
I am.
Dr. Wooten says for one young person that you turn around, it saves the community $2 million. One young person, $2 million.
Wow.
And like you said, Kelly, where would your daughter be now if that one person? So you are saying get back to the singleness of purpose. One at a time.
You know, and I don't know about the $2 million, but if you save one person, think about how many people that one person will help.
The ripple effect.
And little by little, we will see our community change. It starts with just one. We just have to be willing.
And there are a lot of agencies, aren't there, that are trying?
There are a lot of agencies.
I don't know if they understand the drug problem and the drink problem that a lot of kids are dealing with. I don't know if people know how to talk about that real openly. But
well, I think that's what we're going to try to do is with the task force. I think we have to educate first because, as we were just saying, when you have a child or a relative that you know is using, we don't know how to approach that. We're more angry than anything else. You need to stop doing that. Education is one of the key things that most people checked when I sent the questionnaire several months ago. They wanted the education was the number one task that we need to take on before we can do some of the other stuff. Also, we have to develop a mission statement. Emily Winters Brown, who is the coordinator for the Minority Health Coalition, she sent me a draft. So what I'm going to do is email that to everyone and let them look at it. I'm not going to read it, but it's pretty good. But I think we have to specify that this is an initiative that is a number one problem in the community for African Americans, and we want this to put some language in there about African Americans. So I'm going to send that out. And so she's done a really good job of helping. In fact, we're going to sign a memorandum of understanding between the two, ourselves and Community Action Program, the coalition, to assist in this endeavor. They're going to assist us in this endeavor. And, of course, I'll talk about Karen Freeman and the conference call that we're going to have with her on the 24th of April. And Community Action Program, the Minority Health Coalition, is involved in that with us. So it's going.
It's going.
It's taken a little while.
Yeah. How long have you been at it now, Marvelline? About a year?
It was a year in December, last December. So we're talking about 18 months. But
you're ready to go into second gear.
Yeah, someone told me, said, you know, don't worry about not getting as far as you want, thought you would be at this time, sometimes some things take longer.
Yes.
And so I've come to realize that I need to, at some point, and have Kelly or and some of the other members, we just divide up the names, call everybody instead of the emails, and just ask them directly, you know, are you still interested? If so, what do you want to do with the task force?
Okay. And so, when we come back from break, maybe we can give a name and number, or have people in the audience, if you want to call and ask about the task force and coalition, now's the time to do it.
And I want to talk a little bit about caring, too.
Perfect.
Yeah, and I want to talk about some different upcoming events for youth, because I really believe that in order for us to attack this drug problem that we have in our community, we're going to have to change the mindset, mm-hmm. and it's going to start with our youth.
Yes.
We have got to show them that there really is a better way. We have to give them opportunities to see something different than what they see at home and in their community.
Yeah, what they think normal is, mm-hmm. may not. I was going to ask you, Tamara, when you were a baby having a baby, did anybody talk to you about prenatal care and not drinking,
yes.
or what marijuana
yes.
does to the so you did
yes.
get it, some good
yes,
attention?
Yes, and okay. I was not involved in any of that.
While you were pregnant?
No. Actually, I was I was in sports, and in high school, I got pregnant when I was in high school, a senior. So I was on my way to go to college, and
wow.
that's just what happened. And so, yeah, my parents were really strict, and they helped me a lot to take care of my child.
But, you know, that's really not the norm in the inner city community. And a lot of times, you know, when you have parents, again, that are drinking and drugging, mm-hmm. you know, mom mm-hmm. smoked when she was pregnant with you. Mom is still in the house smoking cigarettes. So her awareness or concern for secondhand smoke to either you or your child is just not something that she's thinking about.
No.
Not to say she does not care for her children.
Sure.
She just has not been educated to the facts of, you know, the effects of what she's doing, and really her bigger concern is putting a meal on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes because she is stressed out, she's smoking that cigarette.
Absolutely.
And so what happens is when we have young people, young girls get pregnant, they're in the house, everybody else is smoking,
mm-hmm.
and so some of our young people do continue to smoke. Some of our young people do continue to, you know, drink a beer or, you know, take a hit off of a blunt. And so because of that, we're seeing that our children are being born with learning disabilities,
right.
and other defects.
A little slower than others.
A little
yeah.
slower than others, which takes on a whole nother.
Then self-esteem
exactly.
succeeding through
and
12
and
years.
ADHD,
oh, yes.
so now you're disruptive.
Yeah.
And
right.
so now that's a whole nother thing. And we're just continuing to see such devastating effects mm-hmm. on our community mm-hmm. because of nicotine.
Yeah.
Alcohol,
drugs,
right. all of it, you know.
And the famous quote that our parents used is, do as I say and not as I do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we always tell kids and parents, your kids will never do what you say. They will always do what you do.
And that's
yes.
the thing. If we can really impress it upon parents, realize that kids really are a product
yes.
of their environment.
And get the parents' help.
Yeah. Yeah.
To change. Well, good. This is a great discussion. Please don't hesitate to call 424-1400 if you have any questions or comments, concerns, sharings, anything. We're open.
That's
we want
right.
your questions and comments. So don't go away, Radio Rehab. We will be right back after commercial.
To the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
Miss Cookie's Cooking is now open at 1010 South Kentucky Avenue, formerly Evans Cafe, where you'll always find good food, great service, and godly fellowship. That's right, for the best country cooking soul food in town, it's Miss Cookie's Cooking at 1010 South Kentucky Avenue in the former Evans Cafe building. Open Thursday through Saturday, 10 to 8, and Sundays, 1 to 7. And don't miss our grand opening this Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. Miss Cookie's Cooking. Call us at 812-422-4626.
Does your car need a sip of some smooth, clean, and refreshing high-quality motor oil? If so, stop by Award-Winning Oil Change for all your car's needs. At Award-Winning Oil Change, you can take advantage of our front-to-rear service. Well, what does that mean? We service lights, radiators, belts, hoses, differentials, filters, and transmissions. And why should you come to Award-Winning Oil Change, located across from Deaconess Hospital at the corner of Harriet and Virginia? Pricing. We're home of the $20 oil change. Stop clowning around. We have the best prices in town at Award-Winning Oil Change, corner of Harriet and Virginia, or call us at 424-1992.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Well, we are back with an incredible discussion about how to offer recovery to every single person in our community, no matter what color, what age, where you're from. How can we get people to understand this is a cancer and that people can get better if they have the resources? So that's what our discussion is about. Don't hesitate to call 424-1400. We've got Marvelline and Kelly, loyal radio rehabbers that are involved in getting a coalition task force and literally an army together to go after this and combat this issue. And we've got a new little guest named Tamara for her first time on Radio Rehab. And Tamara.
Yeah,
thank
Tamara.
You. It looks like we've already got a call. Tamara, we thought we better get a young person on here. We're starting to sound old. So Tamara's here to bring us some young perspective. Do we have a caller?
Yes, you do.
Hello.
Hi, this is Regina. Regina Lowry.
Hey,
and
Gina.
I am old. I'm still old like you guys are.
Hey,
but I would
Regina.
Really like to tell Tamara, my daughter, how proud I am of her.
Yes.
Of taking this step. I love her so much.
I love
Thank
you, too.
Thank you, everybody that has been helping her, because, you know, sometimes they do have to go outside the home to listen. So,
Regina, this is your daughter?
Thank you. Yeah, my daughter.
She didn't say this was Regina's daughter.
Well, she didn't have to say that.
That's true. Wow.
Individual.
Right. So, thank you, Kelly. I appreciate you. Thank you, everybody that decided to put her on. And Tamara, I love you. And you know your babies love you.
I love you, too.
And Papa loves you. And everybody loves you.
Aww.
And they're behind you 100%.
Thank you so much.
And we're so proud of you.
Thank you.
And that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thanks,
I'll see
Gina.
You when you get home.
Aww.
All right.
Thanks, Gina. Bye-bye. And you know,
is love enough?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is love enough to fight this cancer?
Well, I tell you what, love
is important.
It's very, very important. Contrary to what people, I hear a lot of people talking about tough love, and I know we do need tough love, and we don't ever want to enable somebody in their addiction, mm-hmm. but it is important to us as addicts to know that we have the love and support, if not all of our family, at least of some of our family
yeah.
members, mm-hmm. you know, because addiction really does leave us feeling pretty hopeless.
Yeah.
And so it's always good to know that somebody still loves us, somebody's still pulling for us, and, you know, somebody's there to pat you on the back and tell you, okay, you messed up, get up, try again. So, yeah.
You know, you can divorce a man or a woman, but you can't divorce your kids.
Mm-mm. That's right. That's
you cannot
right.
divorce your Mm-mm. kids. And if you birthed a child or adopted a child, you know, and that child needs your assistance or your help or your support, I think that if you don't do something, the Lord gonna get you.
And this really does affect the whole family.
It does.
Yes, it does.
And you know, the thing I just wanted to say too, I know we had talked once before about people in the program getting clean and sober and kind of forgetting that they once were addicts and moving on with their lives. And I just want to say to you, Regina, thank you, because really the only thing that we're doing is what Regina has done for us for so many years. Mm. You know, she has
passed
been a part of the recovery community, mm-hmm. you know, sponsoring, educating, giving of her time, showing us how to do what we're doing. So it's because of the Regina Lauries and all the people in the recovery community who didn't just get sober and walk away.
Yeah.
You know, you have to come back. You have to give back. You have to help other people.
Definitely.
Yeah. And you know, I think we have to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
Do we have a caller?
Yes. Hi, Lisa. This is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
Hello. Hello, everybody. I want to say again how I appreciate what you guys are doing for this community, and reaching out and trying to get the word out here about how serious and how deadly this disease is. Mm-hmm. I am someone that knows from experience, and I see it all around me every day, that we are not foolproof from this disease. And for someone to be able to step forth and want to try to do something about it, because I grew up in the same era where, you know, you don't talk about it. What stays mm-hmm. in the home, you know, what happens in the home stays in the home. And I believe the word needs to be out there even more, you know. And I just want to say how proud I am of you, Kelly, Marvelline, and especially you, Tamar.
Oh, oh, I love you so much, Kathy.
I love you guys, too. And I want to thank you for that, you know. And being here, I need to share this. I have been with working with someone that's been in and out of the room, and today I got a call from her, and she's wanting to reach out again. She thought that I would just be mad at her and not want to help her anymore, and I mm-hmm. told her that is so not true.
Mm-hmm. So when people relapse.
Right, well, how can I keep what I have if I don't help her?
So do you ever get tired of somebody that relapses?
No.
And even if you get even if you get tired, you don't stop. You still offer the help. You don't give up.
No.
Exactly, because I am who she is. You know, I am what she is. So I'm always willing to help someone and never, ever forget where I came from.
Right on.
Thanks, Kathy.
Bye, you guys. I love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. That whole relapse issue. So you keep loving and you keep wanting to keep your hand out, but when they keep relapsing, that's hard on a community or a family
it
or
is.
Law enforcement or
yes,
a judge or
mm-hmm.
some people are cut off from their families mm-hmm. because they are so tired mm-hmm. of this happening day after year after year after year. And I think that if that's their choice, they have to do that. But I can't see. I don't ever want to say I wished I had of,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right
yes. to help someone. I don't ever want to say that. So education, I think, is the key. And I think at some point, Kelly, when we get a little bit more organized, and Lisa, because Lisa's involved with this initiative, we have to provide written mm-hmm. proof of how this is affecting our community.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I want to thank Diane and Jess Trockman for providing me with just starting off with a bunch of literature
mm-hmm.
on
statistics,
how our community
oh, my God, Marlene, you've got front hand. You can get to the Sheriff Williams, too, and see just the numbers of people
Eric
in there.
Eric is a part of this committee.
Oh,
and
my God, the people in the jails mm-hmm. and the homeless shelters and hospitals that are
mm-hmm.
addicted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a guy by the name of Roland Williams, who's very known in the drug culture and writing about it. And I'm just going to read something that he said. It could be argued that addiction has been as effective as slavery in keeping African Americans oppressed, depressed, and regressed.
I agree wholeheartedly, which is why I go back to your original comment that I don't think it's by coincidence that the drugs has infiltrated the African American community the way that it has so rapidly to the magnitude, and I believe that it is just another form of slavery and oppression.
So it's a civil rights issue.
Well.
As well.
Well.
People are mistreated that are African American and are addicted. Or addicts in general.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to say mistreated, because mistreatment is almost intentful. I will say that there is a difference made. And one of the saddest things about racism and prejudice, one can operate in racism and not even be aware of it. There are so many forms of subtle racism, much institutional racism, and oftentimes we continue the cycle just in our jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, our inability on our jobs to practice cultural diversity, the fact that our organizations are not bringing in qualified, skilled people to train us, to make us aware, the fact that even in our hiring practices, we are not hiring African Americans or anybody from any other minority group. We're not hiring people from the inner city. We're not hiring people who have any direct information about substance abuse, trying to help people.
Yeah.
You know, so again, I don't know if it's intentful or if it's willful, but it does exist, you know?
Well, and the one argument might be with addiction, that being a slavery-ish type dynamic. But what people might say is you never had to pick up that first drink or drug. What do you say to that?
Well, I'll say this, being a person that was in recovery, had I known almost 20 years ago, mm-hmm. when I picked up my first drink, when I picked up my first drug, that it was going to lead to addiction, maybe then I could agree with you. But I don't think that there's one person who ever, for the very first time, took their very first anything with the intention of becoming addicted and destroying their whole entire life,
absolutely,
their future, the future of their families. That's just not the intent. And we look at even with the tobacco industry. No one told us that when we started smoking cigarettes 20 years ago, the addictive qualities. Even today with our children smoking marijuana, do you think it's coincidental that our children have gone from smoking marijuana and rolling up joints on paper to now rolling up blunts on cigar wraps?
Why is that?
Well, for instance, even the residue off the cigar wrap is just as addictive. Cigars are very addictive. Mm-hmm. So now you're taking that addictive principle, mixing it with the marijuana, and now we're seeing a larger number of our kids, I don't mean just African American, I mean our kids, because all kids are ours, mm-hmm. our kids becoming actually addicted to smoking blunts. They mm-hmm. almost wake up every day feeling like they need to have it. And
that's
then we
right.
look at the industry, and the industry is trying to continue their addiction, because now they're making blunt wraps and strawberry flavored, grape flavored, and they're flavoring the wraps so that now it can taste better.
Right.
And now you're enjoying the taste of the wrap. You're enjoying the smoke of the marijuana. All those are contributing mm-hmm. to the addictive factor.
And normalizing.
You think that's coincidental?
Marijuana.
You think that's coincidental that on every street corner, at every convenience store, every open pantry, every marathon, you can now go in every gas station and buy a blunt wrap. They didn't used to sell cigars like that.
Yeah.
But they're selling them now.
Do we have somebody on air? Hello?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. We're just sitting here talking about cigarettes and marijuana, and you're waiting there patiently. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
I'd like to give a shout out to Tamar.
Oh, and how you doing?
I'm doing all right. And I am so glad that you found some help. And keep doing what you're doing. No matter what anybody say, mm-hmm. you can recover.
That's
Believe
it.
That. And mm-hmm. I wish you the best.
Thank
May
you.
God be with you always.
Aww. Thank you so much.
Okay, wow. You're my friend. And you're my best friend. You're going to always be my friend. Aww. So God bless you.
Thank you.
So much support. Yeah. Did you ever realize you had that much support?
No, not at the time.
Yeah.
But now it's a blessing. Mm-hmm. It really, really is, and I'm taking it all in. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Kelly talks about marijuana.
Yes.
Is so normalized.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that's what you always kind of relapsed on, was marijuana.
Yes.
Do you believe in the new young culture it is okay to smoke pot? It's not
yes.
even seen as a drug?
Yes, because they don't believe that you can OD on it. They've never seen anybody OD on marijuana.
Have they ever seen anybody OD at all anyway?
No.
So
no.
What are they talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and there's different ways that marijuana is used, you know, as far as the plant itself,
mm-hmm.
you know, with rope.
So it can justify the heck out
yeah.
of it. Huh?
Yeah.
I heard one person tell me, but it's not a drug. It's a plant.
It's a plant.
It's a plant.
Yeah.
It grows from the earth.
So do opiates.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So does cocaine. It's a
right.
coca plant.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
That's the kid's argument.
Mm-hmm. They feel like they have glaucoma.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and then they use
glaucoma of the heart.
Yeah.
You know, dump my heart out.
And you know, I'll tell you one statement that was given to me that has now proven not to be true. This person said to me, well, you know, marijuana's not the same as cocaine. You never see anybody spending all their money buying on weed like they do on crack.
Oh.
You never see anybody not taking care of their kids like they do on crack. But now we see mothers taking their diaper money, buying a bag of weed.
That's right.
You know,
absolutely.
We now, it has grown. It has.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have another caller?
No.
I heard the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole marijuana mm-hmm. issue. I know in the courts especially, we see a lot of possession of marijuana, possession
yeah.
of marijuana, possession
yeah.
of marijuana.
You know, when there's...
Oh, there we go. This must be a caller about... Okay. Are you calling about marijuana?
I'm calling for comments. My name is Minnie Adams Stokes, and I was listening to your program.
Thank you.
The young lady that one of your guests is my goddaughter. But one of the things that I was listening to and I enjoy you all were saying about the tough love situation, you know, all the program that we got, and now if the family don't get behind the people that got drug problem or whatever the problem is,
yeah,
with the tough love and be there for them. And a lot of times we criticize them so bad and
mm-hmm.
we get on that defensive mode. To make them feel like they're nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I have a son, and also Kelly, y'all know she's recovered. That was my girl, and a lot of people told me, why do you do this, and why you keep supporting her, and you know she ain't doing this and do that.
Mm-hmm.
I never turned my back on my baby, never. Mm-hmm. I never turned my back on my children, and that's one of the things that order for a person to get delivered. We can't turn our back on, but we have to have tough love.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly is a witness that she knows that I've been there for her all time.
Mm-hmm.
I never said no until when I went one time and I told her, like, okay, I got you this house, I got you this year. If you lose it this time, the next time you're going to live wherever you have to. She went to, I didn't let her come back in, but now, don't get me wrong, I took care of the children, but I didn't hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt me to see her to go to the shelter and all that, but I stood my grind. I never go there. We got to give them to the point to, we have to, other words, what we have to do, we have to go into God that this is it, and then you start and you change this,
mm-hmm.
and this is what it is. I'm so glad that the program's out there, and I try to support my girl in anything she do and back her up and push along, and I told her this year I got a warning for her. I'm going to have her arrested.
Put that girl on
I told her
GPS
I'm going to bring up some fake charge on her. So anybody out there listening to me, stay with them, hang in there, pray for them, be there for them, but still at the same token, listen to the Spirit of God and let God guide you with what they do. And don't sit up and try to justify what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Just be there for them.
Awesome message.
And people don't realize that. You know, we got problems. And drug is a disease. And the young lady I really interrupted when she kept saying it's a disease. They ain't the only one got disease. We got so many diseases that people look over. We think the drug is the only disease. But, honey, we got people eat too much. They are addiction to eating. And we don't think that's okay. But we got addiction lying. People don't think that, you know, that's okay because I'm not hurting nobody. That's a lie. It is, you know. Then we use these phrases and say, oh, I'm not hurting nobody but myself.
That's a lie. Yeah.
So all of them, we all got some disease that we need to get rid of. My disease might not be the same, but we still got disease that we need to get rid of.
Yeah, we all got something, don't we?
Right. Mm-hmm. And when we get that. And another thing I'm like to come, I like what you all were saying when you were dealing with the prejudice issues.
Mm-hmm.
The prejudice issues now, it's not that they hanging people. But they're doing it with the pens and pencil. And these programs, they come up, and I like what's saying when Kelly brought up that issue that they're not hiring the right type of people mm-hmm. into the thing because they think they already know. They look on stuff look good on paper.
Yeah.
But paper is not life. Mm. Paper is not relationship. Paper is not feeling. Paper's not knowing where that person came from.
Mm-hmm.
Paper is not knowing that person was had to sweep and clean up and call little children yes ma'am and no ma'am and clean their bottom and wash their
thank you.
Paper don't take care of that.
Woo.
Feeling.
Well, thank you for calling and sharing. It sounds like you have strong feelings and a lot of love for this issue. Thank you so much for sharing it with us this afternoon.
Yes, and I'm so glad to have the opportunity.
Well, thank you.
And I'm going to get off the phone because everybody's there.
You're good. Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
What she said about the way we look at different impairments, because I call them an impairment if you are overweight. I mean, maybe you know, but we treat physical impairments different from
emotional, mental.
Emotional,
yeah, for sure.
We'll talk about pray for so-and-so because they just had an operation, but if somebody's trying to be in recovery, we don't mention that, do we?
Mm-mm. And it's not the drugs. It's us. Mm-hmm. It's not the drugs you got to worry about. It's us. Mm-hmm. We have to find out what's going on with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
take care of your stuff.
That's right.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of times, people think that there's some quick fix.
Yeah.
There's some magic wand that you can wave, and those people will be free of their addiction. You know, and that's one.
Say pray for so-and-so.
Right. That's one of my biggest frustrations.
But no backup.
You know, that's one of my biggest frustrations, you know, is to see people, especially, I'll just be honest, especially in the church community, mm-hmm. people who've never been addicted tell you what it takes or does not take to recover from your addiction. You know, you would be surprised the number of people that are opposed to 12-step programs.
Oh, I know.
Because of some preconceived idea of what a 12-step program is or is not. You know,
they don't talk about the gospel in the 12-step programs. That's
that's one of the biggest controversies, that because the name of Jesus is not mentioned in a 12-step program, but the name of God is all over the big
book. Higher power.
And not only is the name of God mentioned, the entire book, if you do the history on the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, it is based
out of the Oxford Group.
Out of the Oxford Group and the Book of James. I mean, then again, it goes back to...
It's the ignorance, like you guys said. Education.
And whatever, and I guess I think we ought to get to the place that whatever works, you know, we should embrace that.
Yes.
I should be more concerned with seeing you recover.
Absolutely.
As opposed to seeing you recover the way that I want you
That's
to
right.
or mm-hmm. I think it should. Mm-hmm. Whatever works, if whatever it takes, you know. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, you know, the program, the 12-step programs mm-hmm. have been a humbling experience for professionals and even psychiatry because mm-hmm. that's free and people get well there in droves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So doctors have even had to look at, wait a minute, what's going on in there?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Something powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
You know, so, wow.
And Marveline's a lover of AA and NA. And we've converted her.
I know it.
She's an honorary member of Alcoholics Anonymous.
I'm learning
now.
Something all the time. I said, well, my mouth just gapped because I've never...
See the power in there.
Yeah, right.
I just wish there was more facilities for us to recover in. We only have one here in Evansville, and I just...
It's a good one, but it's overloaded.
That's right.
It's overloaded.
You have people coming from jails.
Yes.
You have people, you know, waiting for beds.
Yes.
If you're on the outside, then you can't get no bed within 2 months.
Right.
You know.
You got to know somebody.
You got to know somebody.
Like the old AA days. Know somebody to go to a meeting. Know somebody to get into treatment.
That's right.
Know. Yeah, and so that's unfortunate. So I think that's...
You all are working on that, too,
we are,
right?
We are. We are. Those are some of the things.
A lot of stuff with your task force, Marveline.
Yeah.
That's really Kelly.
And Kelly.
Yeah.
And her help now.
You know, yeah, because that's
her
really
little
my
one,
passion.
Regina's daughter.
Tamara.
If you got Regina's, Tamara, if you got Regina's energy, look out. You three will jumpstart the city.
That's right. I would love to be involved in the task force with Kelly. I would love to.
Look out. Marveline's recruiting as we speak.
Let me just mention,
yeah.
How much time we got?
You got 5 minutes.
Okay. Let me just mention a little bit about Karen Freeman.
Perfect.
I don't
Wilson.
Know how some of the younger people may not know her, but she was the first drug court person in Indiana, in Gary. And she said that she got so tired of non-violent offenders coming through her court. 80% of those were like black or people of color. And so she started drug court because she was in another court before that. And 10 years after that, serving as a drug court person, she's now the CEO of a National Association of Drug Court Professionals. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. She ran for attorney general. Mm-hmm. She filled out someone's term, and then she ran on her own, and she did not win. But she ended up being a drug court judge up in Gary. And she said
and the mayor.
Number, yeah.
Wasn't she a mayor in Gary, too?
So. She's been all over the
She's
place.
Awesome.
We've had her a couple of times. So what she's going to do is, because her schedule is so busy, she's going to do, we're going to do a conference call on the 24th of April to try to get, so she can give us some guidance on how to proceed with this drug task force. And that's going to be held, we haven't got the final details. Everybody will be emailed. And she'll Kelly will share this with her with tomorrow if she wants to be present that day.
Yes,
just
Trotman
is making arrangements to have this in. It's on a Saturday, so nobody's in the courthouse.
Oh, you should do it here.
So,
well, right in, and you're
well. What we're going to do is going to be at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's going to last 1.5 hours. It's going to be in one of the conference rooms in the courthouse. Now, you know where all the judges and the assistants and paralegals park on Sycamore part of the street. On that back parking lot, Judge Trotman will let any and everybody in that needs to get into the conference room that day because the courthouse is closed on Saturdays.
Okay.
But that's going to be a good time for us because there will be plenty parking back there.
Okay.
I'll send everybody a little map, but please put it on your calendars. Anybody that wants more information about this, they need to call me or email me. That's from the task force because I'll be have my email address. But that's set for April the 24th at 9 o'clock, a conference call with Karen Freeman to give us some guidance.
And anybody's invited or the coalition, the task force?
Just the task force members. Like I said a little while ago, and I think Kelly agrees, I think all of you agree, is we need to do some in-house things before we take this project to the black community.
She'd be a great consultant.
Yes, and so she's going to help us on that. As I talked about the initiative with the Memorandum of Understanding between ourselves and CAPE, Ms. Weathers was saying that for me to let her know if there's a fee, but since she's not coming, not going to be able to come, and we're going to do a conference call, it's not going to cost us. We'll probably have some refreshments there, coffee, donuts, and stuff like that.
That's a wonderful.
And Lisa, I just wanted to say real quickly, one of the things, too, we really want to do is, again, with this drug problem, is look at how we can change the mindset of our community.
Good
and
idea.
It's going to start with our youth. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to share real quickly about an upcoming event, which is going to be focused towards our youth. And one of the things that we have to do with our youth, again, is give them other alternatives.
Yes.
We have to let them know that college education really is a possibility.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there is
an upcoming youth conference that is going to be June 12th. It's going to be at the C.K. Newsom Center starting at 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We are asking those people in the community that have resources and information to join us, the Evansville Collegiate Advisory Council. We will be having workshops, which are simulations of college situations, because what happens is a lot of times our kids get grants and financial aid. Mm-hmm. They go off to college, but they've never lived on campus before. They don't know how to deal with college life. So we'll be having workshops, and we'll have speakers. There also will be a step show, which will be include local alumni Greek chapters and surrounding colleges. The North High School reunion steppers, they will be there. And so we just want our community to help us show our youth that there is something for them to do, that college is possible. Tickets and registrations will begin May 1st. You'll be able to pick up your registration forms at the C.K. Newsom Center. Also, information will be available online next week at the ecaceducation.org. And we're looking for community volunteers. We're looking for people to sit on the council, teachers, educators, community partners, local business owners, you know, again, to whom much is given, much is required. And we're asking us to step outside of our box and to help save our community one child at a time.
There you go. There is incredible stuff happening from the inside out and the outside in.
And you know what? The Pump and Our Times newspaper is the bridge in our community.
Most definitely.
If it was not for Ed, Regina, Sharon,
Sandra Matthews,
we would not know what the heck was going on. And I'm glad for this show, Lisa.
Thanks.
Because
yes,
we are able to start some kind of dialogue between ourselves and the black community so that you may be unhappy because your child's on drugs, but we need to do something about education.
And, you know, that's the thing I wanted to say real quickly. If you have a child or a loved one that's on drugs, the worst thing you can do is to try to keep it a secret, to try to deal with it in home or in the house. Because if you are not educated about the nature of disease, if you don't know about treatment facilities and the program, what you are allowing to happen is you're allowing your loved one's addiction to continue to grow. The best thing that you can do is reach out for help, ask questions. Mm-hmm. There are people out here in the community who are willing to help you.
There's no shame here anytime.
There's no shame. There's no shame in addiction. Addiction touches every social, economic, racial.
You know yourself, if you got a child on drugs or your husband or your mate, everybody knows it. Anyway.
Everybody knows it,
right?
you just think they don't know.
And this is Evansville.
That's right.
So we are here to keep the doors and minds open. Thank you all so much.
We don't have no
thank
more
you.
Time, do
we? Oh, we got to have you back. This is just something we do
back.
Need to keep
I
talking.
I should have something report anyway from that April 24th.
From Karen Freeman Wilson.
Yes.
You all, thank you so much for your compassion, dedication, your energy. Do we have a caller? Hello? Do we have one last caller? I guess not. Time to wrap it up. I hate that. If you all have questions, you could always go to radiorehab@yahoo.com. You could call here the radio station. Any of these women would be available in their places as well. You can hear them on the internet podcast. Go to lisasifecares.net, and you can hear them on the World Wide Web. If you want to get involved, get involved. Roll up your sleeves. It's worth it. And we will keep talking this talk. Radio Rehab, until next week, don't forget to do the next right thing.